Welcome to the Simon Parkes Connecting Consciousness Show on Wolf Spirit Radio. Simon actively encourages you to post your questions live to him in the chat room at wolfspiritradio.com/listen. When you ask a question in the chat room, please make sure that you've logged into the chat and go. That's the set name at the bottom. That you have a nickname, and that you ask one question in all caps. That makes it easier for us to collate. Thank you. The next 2 hours will be full of debate, interview guests, and up-to-date news. Please join Simon in playing an active role. Connecting Consciousness Show. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. Hello, Simon. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm all right, thank you. It's been an incredibly busy couple of weeks, I think, for many people.
It has indeed. It's been quite... I was just saying before we started the show, I've been very inspired to kind of finish... break things.
You've fallen over.
No, it's a keyboard. I've got loads of equipment here. I've been very inspired to do very technical things this weekend, like my solar panel project. And so I've been thinking about batteries and storage and Muppets and MPPT solar
sounds
charge.
Sounds like you need Win Keach, I think.
I do. It's, in fact, well, I had him on the show... had him on a special Thursday science show a couple of weeks back, and we discussed all the things, and I've gone out and like implemented all his ideas. I'm getting back on the show for another bout. He's brilliant. I mean, he really does know all of his stuff, and you see, one of the things that I'm trying to do is find a way so that people don't have to spend loads and loads of money to get something basic going. That can keep them going through a difficult period, like just at least if you can keep the lights on, you know.
Yes.
So my head is full of like electronics and stuff. So I'll try and focus back on, but we got some real, I just had a very, very brief look at the, you know, just getting lined up to the beginning of the questions here. And there's some very interesting questions here today. I'm sure some of you are going to have a really, interesting talk, but not only that, I just wanted to add, a couple of weeks ago you said one word, and I've had a lot of email about it. That word was device, in relation to the pyramid. So I had a caller, not a caller, I've had a couple of emails, you know, a couple of messages, and I've actually got a guy on tonight who's going to be talking about the pump aspect of the pyramid. The pyramid as a water pump. Now I know that's not all what it is, and I'll be discussing on the show with him what it is, and how it all fits together. But, thank you, Simon, for opening up that domain of knowing. The necessity. There you are.
Testing. What an interesting time and word to pull the plug. I think they're going to do it again.
Yeah. Anyway, I said the word device, and I'm going to have a guest on tonight, and we're going to be talking about the device.
Okay.
Excellent. So, do you have any announcements before we dive into the pool of information?
Plenty.
Okay.
Right, here we go. First of all, let's talk about the Brit exit.
Last time we spoke, we were in the EU. and everything was kind of calm, kind of stable, you know, here we go. So please go.
Right, okay. Let's see how many more times we get cut off though. Right, clearly what's been sold to the public, isn't anything like the truth. I made it clear I voted for out. The reason I voted for out was because I knew that it would temporarily hold up Agenda 21, chemtrailing, the one world European government, and it would just make it very difficult for these elite people for a period of time. And it's interesting that Tony Blair, as the ex-Prime Minister, has gone out now and is, in his own words, you know, basically saying, look, we don't have to listen to the British public. You know, they're going to change their mind, so let's not go out of Europe. What I wanted to say to our audience is that we are familiar with the pyramid. I won't say the word device because we'll get cut off again. But we're familiar with the pyramid, and the very top part of it, the pinnacle, is where the elite stands. And all the rest of it is made up with us, all working to keep the elite very happy. Well, it's a misnomer to imagine that that elite is one group. It's divided into a number of groups. And what I'd like to try and get across to everyone is the very, very point, the very pinnacle of the last layer of the human control before you go into off-planet control. That group wanted Britain to exit. But all the remainder of the elite were not even involved in that discussion. One of the reasons you've seen so much backstabbing and arguing is because the elite have been betrayed by their bosses. Now, when the Twin Towers came down, many, many agendas were paid out and played for. But Larry Silverstein made something close to $1 billion on the insurance payout of the towers. And there's always a money issue here. If we chase the money back, we can often find some very interesting answers. Now, George Soros, who has the dubious title of the man who broke the Bank of England, made a 15% return on him betting that Britain would leave the European Union. And a member of the Rothschilds also did very nicely on it. So you've got the elite that we all are aware of on the newspaper who are all saying Britain will stay in Europe. And yet you have the very top boys actually saying, no, you won't. We know you're going to leave and we're going to bet heavily on it. Anyone who has access to British television has seen over the last 3 months video after video on BBC News of migrants, immigrants, charging against county barriers, boundaries, looking for work. Newspaper after newspaper has covered these issues. Now, these are not stupid people who run all these media organisations. They know that every time they did a headline, that was another vote to leave the European Union. They were playing into the hands of the exit camp. So why would the BBC run night after night after night of video pictures of thousands of migrants all swarming around, causing trouble because they were hungry and destitute, etc., etc.? Why would they do that, knowing that that was going to support the Britain Out campaign? They did it because they were ordered to do it. But the vast majority of the elite had no idea. Now, I've been chatting to a few people, and it is becoming quite interesting that on the Labour Party side, the leader of the opposition is having a lot of problems with his lawmakers, his members of parliament, resigning from what we call the shadow cabinet. Now, all, almost without exception, either members of the Fabian Society or followers of Tony Blair. And there's been some leaked emails, and Rupert Murdoch seems to play an interesting role here. So we've got a situation where somebody wanted to suck the wealth out of Great Britain. And I believe that one of the ways of doing that is to drag out or prolong Britain's exit from Europe. And certain people want to take as much money out of the system before it comes down. So that's the first thing. It's a domestic issue. It's home, and I'll give that priority. The second one is far more serious. I've had two warnings, but from the same person, so I didn't act on it. I always wait till I get a warning from a completely different source. I'm through the Connecting Consciousness Network. The coordinators are going to be sending out some information, and there are going to be some seminars run. I have my eye on California and the West Coast of America. The Heart Machine has been used twice in the last 8 weeks for test runs to try to make the fault just respond slightly. I've been told there are three key people who wish to cause a size 7 on the Richter scale on the San Andreas fault. Two of them want the action before the November presidential election. The other one wants it after the election, and they're fighting over it. I have a key date for September, and what we're going to do at Connecting Consciousness is have a not just a US-wide, but a worldwide group meditation like we did for CERN, except this time we can't meditate towards the HAARP machine because the HAARP machine is not sentient. CERN was sentient, so we could do that. But the HAARP machine is somewhat different. So we're going to be having a look at some other aspects. I'm not going to give that away, but we are going to have a group meditation to see if we can, what do the Americans say, head them off at the pass. So there's that one. We've got several issues bubbling away to do with aliens. We've got the President of the European Union coming out, making a statement that he's been in contact with people from other planets. Now, that is on YouTube. Now, a couple of people have posted saying, oh, no, the French is wrong. Not, it's been translated wrong. It's been translated correctly. But they're saying that this man doesn't really know what he's doing, although he's a president. They're saying he doesn't know what he's doing, and he's made a slip-up. What he meant was leaders of the planet. Now, that sounds quite feasible, except when you look at some of the people who are posting, I know some of them are paid agents. And also, if you look at the whole speech, and I've done that, not just the transcript, he actually says, what are these people in other parts of Europe thinking of us and people further afield? So he keeps on making reference to these people who are much further afield. And that is consistent with him being accurate in his terminology, which is people of other planets. Now, there's a history here. When governments are in real, real difficulty, they bring in the alien agenda. Ronald Reagan, at the famous speech to the United Nations, talked about, you know, those from other places. And Gorbachev's wife, when they were doing the strategic arms limitation talks, was asked by a journalist, you know, is Russia going to give up nuclear weapons? And she blurted out, no, because of the aliens. So when senior politicians are up against a wall, they tend to bring in the alien card to try to force other elite members who are giving them a hard time to back off. So we have a great deal of things happening at the moment right across the planet. And there's other stuff, but I need to get on with the questions. I've got the conference. I'm one of the speakers at the High Elms Manor. I think that's on the 9th and 10th of July. And then on the, I think it's the 17th of July, I'm in Hackney.
Hackney?
Yeah, exactly.
Yay! Our old haunt.
Passing Clouds. I'm going to be doing a talk there as well. So if anyone's local or not local and they want to come and listen and see and take part, then I'd be delighted to see you, as I'm sure with the other speakers as well. So, all right, that'll do. I'd love to get on with some of the questions.
So,
now.
Yeah, just a minute. What date are you going to be in Hackney?
Hackney.
Hackney?
17th of July, which is a Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And before that, the High Elms Manor, which is in Watford. I'm scheduled to speak on Sunday the 10th of July, but Kerry's mooting that the tickets are selling so well she might have to get extra venues and would I speak on the Saturday, but I don't know any more about that. But we'll just stick with Sunday. So it's the 10th in Watford, High Elms, and on the 17th at Passing Clouds.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to grab you for the 4th Sunday then, because the 17th would have been your second show of this month.
No, you're all right.
Yeah, we can do 7 till 9, yeah.
Yes, because I'm speaking at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
I made sure of that.
Awesome. Well done. Thank you.
My radio show is very important.
Excellent.
Right. Okie dokie.
So, thank you so much for all that. Very interesting. Very interesting. Loads going on. And more than just my my solar panels. So, shall we go all the way to... right. Okay. So, I'm going to start... trying to explain, please don't call in. there is a call to listen number that you can use, and I'll tell you what it is in a second because I'm not familiar with it yet. But it's just awesome. I got it for Ever Beyond, and I knew this guy like 5 years ago when everybody was small, And I just, you know, told him about TalkStream Live, and he said, oh yeah, and he actually gave me a free account. So, that's nice. Really, really good. So if you wish to, listen to the show, but not, you can't call in, cause it's just going to be too chaotic if people call in. There is a listen number, which is 712-432-9588. That's 712-432, very easy to number, 432-9588. So that's, and that's the TalkStream Live. And indeed, if you want to go to TalkStream Live and schlep some people in, you can do, you can log in, get a little free account, and hashtag Simon Parks is talking about, you know, So, there we are. I just had to make that announcement. So now let's go to, the first post of the day. I basically look at these things in date order, and I grab them from the day that the first day that we, the moment it starts. And today's first post is from Ashley. And okay, so here we are. Now, this is a name I'm not familiar with, so I'm not sure how I might pronounce it, but it's Arnie, the mother of Anu, used Anu's DNA to create a son without his permission. And then, this is conjecture, I suppose, and then did not assist this divine son in the fight for the Emerald Tablet and Moritomi. Is there anything else she did to betray her family? You say we will no longer be able to choose which side we're on after the clock hits midnight. Are you referring to choosing between Arnie's feminine ruling planet and Anu's masculine planet?
No, I'm not at all. No, I'm referring to humanity's choice as to whether it wants to be good and do service to others, or whether it wants to be service to self. So I'm totally referring to the battle of the human race, where the consciousness of humanity must decide, and each individual must decide what he or she is and wants to be. I'm just going to shut the window, JP, because Whitby is very popular, and we get lots of motorbikes coming through. So,
yes, indeed, the. Not only is Whitby popular for motorbikes, but it's also very good for fish. And I've got some, I sent you a picture of it last week. I was in the supermarket, it said a Whitby scampi. And those of you who do not know what scampi is small langoustines, tiny lobster-like, big prawns, things. And, it's a northern England delicacy, scampi. Scampi and chips. And there's a packet of Whitby brand scampi, and it says fit for royalty, I think. You know, it doesn't seem to say fit for a queen, fit for royalty. So there you go. The royal borough of Whitby. So, Simon, have you sealed the world out? Oh, no, we've lost him again. Wow. We're on a loose, wet piece of string today. Let's put a little bit of music. While we get him back. Oh, either that, or somebody's tripped over the loose piece of wet string that they use as the backbone for the British internet. So anyway,
yeah. I did an hour and a half live conference yesterday to Malta. Kerry Cassidy had organised a conference, and I did an hour and a half. I didn't get interrupted once. Not once.
Not a spot. Well, maybe, you know, I think they need to have forward notice. In order to do some disruption. I think they can't just go on there. Well, there he is. So, that's why I try to make my shows very spontaneous and bring my sensitive guests on without telling anyone, you know, and then put it out on YouTube so it's too late. So, meanwhile, Weston is asking, Simon, you've mentioned that money is not used on any other planet of which you're aware and that it's a control mechanism here on Earth. Our present fraudulent fiat currency system certainly is such a mechanism, but honest commodity-backed money serves a useful function as a medium of exchange for real goods and services, eliminating many of the problems associated with direct barter. If honest money is not used on other planets that have physical economies, what is the method of facilitating fair exchange of goods and services between individuals?
Right. They don't. Full stop. you are just provided with what you need. We on this planet are so indoctrinated over centuries in many countries and thousands of years in other countries to have the concept of money. You know, a child on this planet of 3 years old, he or she knows that if they want, well, some of them do, they want a sweet from a shop, they have to hand the shopkeeper something that's shiny and round or as a paper note, and then they can get their sweet. So from a very, very early age, before children are 5 years old, most of them have got a concept of what money is, and this is part of the control mechanism. In other places, away from this world, you do not have to barter. You do not have to swap. Aldous Huxley's Brave New World was very interesting because, for those who've not read the book, Aldous Huxley talked about not so much cloning, but when everybody was created, they were given a strata or a status, so they were alphas or betas or deltas, and their job was aligned for them, and things were provided. Now, that's a very totalitarian state, and I'm not at all advocating that. But what I am saying is that there is a perfect system where, all right, let's talk about it. Here we go. We go into a supermarket and we want to get our weekly shopping. So we go into the supermarket and we load everything up in the trolley. And when we go to the checkout, the man or woman rings them up on the machine because they want to know what's gone out of the shop. But we don't have to pay for it. We just put it in the trolley and off we go. And let's say that my job is a cleaner. Let's say I clean offices or something. So I go and clean offices, and at the end of the day, I don't get paid for it. But I can go and get my food, my heating I don't pay for, the clothes on my back I don't pay for, etc., etc. In these other worlds, everything is provided for, and there is no concept of I have to give you this. And in return or exchange, you give me that. The only thing that is exchanged, in terms of exchange is, in some alien cultures, affection and love does exist. Others, it doesn't. So you can give affection and love. You can give knowledge and you, can give skills, but you never expect to be paid for them. So you would use your expertise to further the race. So it's not I'm about furthering my own nest. You know, I want a foreign holiday. I want a nice new modern cell phone. I've had my cell phone 6 months and I want a new one now. So I better go and do this and get lots of money so I can queue up at 5 o'clock in the morning and be the first person to get the latest phone. That doesn't exist. What exists is, right, we've made a breakthrough in medicine. This needs to be out there for everyone of our race. Therefore, I will give this to the planet, whatever planet it is. And then that will then be put into action. So the questioner, it's very interesting because the questioner has asked me a question based on the reality of this planet. In other words, it takes time to move from a money-based economy to a zero economy of any sort. And I'm not convinced that the human race can do it. I know many people want that to happen. I think we have to do it gradually. I think we have to move to perhaps a trading or a barter platform that can be worked on mobile phones. And that's something that may actually happen in the very, very near future. So when we think about the way we need to live on this planet, we've literally got to knock the foundations down, and we can't try to project the future or the way we want based on what's happened. What we have to do is to say, what does the human race need? Let's strip out all the politics. Let's strip out all the greed, all the control. And what have we actually got left? We've got people. We've got actually people. So instead of saying, well, you are worth more than them because, you know, someone who's been 6 years in a university might say, I'm more valuable than the person that takes the trash out. Well, that concept's got to go. The human race is not ready for that yet, but it's moving towards it. So it's a really good question, but I would ask the questioner to reevaluate the substance of the question and perhaps come back to me with another question that doesn't rely on the fabric of the society and the structure that is in place at the moment. But it's a damn good question, and thank you for asking.
I know. It shows a certain level of understanding, and a level of awareness, but the question is, as you're saying, it's asking from a paradigm that doesn't exist anywhere else. So from the way he's asking it, he's locked into his own system here. It's very interesting.
Well, isn't that what the vast majority of the human race is? And I'm not
exactly.
making a judgment.
No, I'm not saying everybody's like bad or whatever.
No, but that's what I've said from the age of three or four or five. That's all people know.
Yep.
And it's a hell of a job to break through that. And it can't just naturally be done in one go. By and large, it has to be done gradually. So, you know, it's people are moving towards the right way, but it's fear, not in the questioner's case, but in many people's case, it's fear that holds them back because this is all they know. Mm. And if you're asking them to make a leap of faith, then many of them just can't get to the edge of the cliff. All right, next question, JP.
Okay.
Good, that one.
Yes, a very good one. This is from Nano. Within the four main types of Jewish, English, Latin, and simple gematria, this is about numerology, why do Enlil and Earth have nearly identical values? Enlil is 94, 312, 48, 52. Earth is 194, 312, 48, 52. I know you've explained the Sumerian tablets were granted. But is there anything meaningful behind this coincidence?
Yes. One brother was born from the ruling father and mother. That's the Sirius group and the Orion Empire group. And the other one had a different mother. One of the children who didn't have the full bloodline was given responsibility of the earth in terms of the genetics to terraform the earth, and the other one that was a bloodline was given more of the command and control elements in terms of the nerve centers, the way that it would be structured and operational. One of the brothers became very, very connected to the planet Earth. If you are creating life, you in some shape or form or another, you become connected to the energy frequency of the parent planet. And what we notice is that people become like their dogs, don't we? We say, well, you know, the man's walking down the sidewalk and he looks just like his dog. The dog's big, round and, you know, hairy. The man is big, round and hairy. And so the energies sometimes choose each other. Very, very exciting thing that. And I think that one of the brothers became so connected with the planet and was already destined to be so that it was deemed that for the planet to accept him and allow him to create life, he had to already have a covenant with the planet. So that is why those numbers, when they are reduced down, are very similar.
Wow. Thank you. I didn't get the question at all, so that was a very interesting response. From Dan Farmer. Now, this is referring to a TV series that is a break-off from Eureka. And it's called... the question is, does Warehouse 23 exist? If so,
right.
What is the actual name of it, and what's the most interesting thing you know that is inside?
Right. I have never heard of the TV show Warehouse. It must presumably be an American thing.
It's a spin-off from Eureka, which is like where Henry Deacon got his name.
All right. Okay. Don't know.
Anyway, long story. But it's about the place where the Manhattan Project was developed.
Yes.
And then...
I was going to say was that it's on a wharf. Interestingly enough, I've been dealing with a client who's having a problem with a device that's stored in a storehouse or a warehouse along by the docks. Often the numbers of the warehouses or the storehouse are literally just the numbers they are in line. Remember in America and Canada, it's all grid out, so that everything's very regimented, not like in Britain where everything's higgledy-piggledy. So the two numbers that are often used are literally, this might be number 20 if a group of 25, or it is given a code number based on something quite mundane or something quite obtuse. I am aware of the number and this particular place, and to my knowledge, the Orion, one of the Orion cubes was actually stored there. The warehouse in question is preeminent in time travel devices. That particular warehouse, although it has stored many things, is the place where any device that had an effect on time was usually stored, or devices that partially worked and then didn't, they were sort of put into mothballs. So as far as I'm concerned, that warehouse has held devices that have been involved in experiments with time.
Like, what could go wrong if you stored them all in the same warehouse? Actually, you know, just to fill in, the TV show Eureka is kind of filled with things like that.
Oh.
It's like, you know, in 1940, they built this underground base and it had an automated system and it's just gone off. You know, it's 60 years later. All the people who knew it were dead and they have to figure out how to switch off the AI. You know, there's all sorts of, it addresses some very interesting, questions and topics and ideas, very much like what do we do with the antimatter and the time machines. And, you know, there was one place where they had a bank and this guy stored his antimatter in the bank. And the bank lifted up, the whole building lifted up into the air because the antimatter was in it. You know, it just activated, it went quantum, you know. So,
it's fun.
Yeah. It is a comedy, you know. And I always find that with the comedies are the ones that tell you the deepest, darkest secrets. They make it very
nice. I'll look into that. That sounds a bit of fun.
But yeah, I'll see if I can get you a link to
that. That'll be lovely. But we've said so many times that that's the way to hide a little bit of truth, mix it in with a bit of comedy.
Yeah. Okay, so meanwhile, this is from Jude from CC New Zealand. Oh, the perennial Simon Parks question. How long is the waiting list for readings? Is it possibly that we lose our... Oh, right. Okay, that's the first question. And then the second question, is it possible that we lose our memory if the magnetics of the planet reverse?
What, implying that I've lost my memory and can't... See, I've still got a sense of humour.
Potentially. I mean, like, Simon, I have to say, I get... You know, I want to tell people who are listening... please don't try and get to Simon through me. Simon has
sounds like a hitman.
It does, doesn't it? You know, it's torturing him. You know, let him go. Anyway, no, but, people send me emails. Now, I have, I don't want to spend too much time complaining about this, but I have a lot of email addresses and most of them are spam. So I have to wade through an awful lot of stuff to get to me. If you want me, call me on Skype, you know, or telephone or things like that. Anyhow, please, you don't call in right now because we don't take call-ins. There's a call-in to listen number, which is on wolfspiritradio.com/listen. And please don't try and send messages to Simon by using my name. If you want it to talk to me, talk to JP. But if it's for Simon, say Simon Parks. Thank you. Sorry about that.
No, that's all right. You clearly are being your bonnet. Right. There are currently 250 names on the waiting list. This is from a previous list, and I expect this person's on that list. And very, very shortly on the process of creating two new websites, one in the United States and one in Germany. And the German one will run all of Europe, and the US will just run the US one. The reason for that is it's going to be much harder for negative forces to take down both websites. You might say, well, you know, if they can take one down, they can take two down. That is true, but we are creating them in such a way that it'd be quite a ball of string game of chase to try and
find out. Very good idea. That's what I did with Wolf Spirit Radio as well.
Right.
That's the same concept.
So I'm getting the codes. I have actually sent the codes off to my very good friends, and hey-o, they never reached there. So I'm in the process of doing that again. We will then be able to get into this backlog of, because these are people who've signed in to the website, and I can't access that at the moment. So there's a list of 250 names in that website. Now, once we've accessed those codes, then we'll crack on and get through that. And we are doing what we can. People who are writing in and need it now. We're trying to prioritize it. So if somebody just wants reading, then, you know, they could perhaps be kind and wait a little bit. But if it's quite a serious case, then I'm trying to, you know, see them first. But it is a bit of a balancing act, and, you know, it's not an excuse. I'm not a corporation. You know, I don't have, sadly, teams and teams of people, you know, working away. And, you know, we've just had two instances tonight where the internet has just gone down. And I have to say to you, JP, and everyone else listening, that every time I do a consultation with somebody, during that 30 minutes, it goes down at least twice, every time. And I don't think many people actually appreciate what is happening here. Being continually cut off or bombarded. I can't get my emails at the moment, because every time I click on, a message comes up and says, you've had too many attempts to access your email. Well, that means somebody or a machine is attempting to hack in and guess my code. So they freeze your account. So I can't get in. I did actually manage to get in at some point this afternoon. So I'm under a great deal of technical pressure. But as far as I'm concerned, that's not a bad thing, because if I'd been left alone, then clearly what I would be doing wouldn't be seen as an issue for anybody who's negative. The fact that I'm getting so much trouble thrown at me, difficulty, must mean that there's some things I'm doing. And, you know, yeah, we can say, oh, the internet goes down because there's bad connections. And yeah, sure, sometimes it does. But let's look back to the radio show today. We've been on, what, 35 minutes. We've had two cuts. And the first cut came.
Yeah, and the first cut. Exactly, 19 minutes. So, yeah, we'll be getting Simon back soon when his internet resets. Yeah, so, that might be an interesting, there might be some other ways we can do this. Yes. Some other ways of working. I'm just thinking through certain, other options that can be done. We'll see what we can do with that.
Your message. Well, me.
Yeah.
You and yeah. All the listeners. And I want you to keep these cuts. When it goes on YouTube, please keep them in, Jamie. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just sending a message. And it's just annoying. Yeah. Oh, have you sent me a picture?
I just said, if you can put your landline number in there, I can call you, if we get cut off again and we keep it continuous. So, and let's see, hang on, something's coming in from Colleen. That's okay. Thank you, Colleen. Right. Good. All right. So I've got that there. So if we need to, I can drop in at that. So meanwhile. All right, here we go. From Stan in New Zealand. Dear Simon, what are your thoughts on the secret journey to planet Serpo and the CE5, Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind?
I've got no knowledge on that at all.
All right, that's, the idea of actually initiating contact, as in Stephen Greer, he's got a protocol. Where you meditate for something.
I don't have much to do with Mr. Greer.
No, I understand. So, Diane is saying, about 9 years ago, I was on a courageous journey during which time for a three month period, I was visited by a beautiful black panther.
Okay.
Although I could not see if I could feel its vibration presence and even when it was, oh, although I could not see it, I could feel its vibration presence and even when it was breathing.
I could feel the soft coat and it was bathed in a love I'd never known before. Most mornings during this period I would wake up lying across my bed with my head on its tummy. I was terrified to move, not knowing what would happen. There are a few occasions when I was up against the wall, the panther was lying in front of me, facing away from me and growling. I used to freeze with fear and feel sick, thinking I was a goner and about to be eaten. I now realize that it was protecting me. There was no mist, no smoke, and I did not growl. I felt the most unconditional love I've ever known in this cat's presence. I want this love again and soon. Who or what is the Black Panther? And Diane.
Does Diana say whether the panther was male or female?
Just beautiful. Love. Hang on. I was just seeing to see if she says he or she.
Yeah. That would be helpful.
No, she just says they're completely gender neutral.
Oh, right, okay.
Correct. Connections.
Right. There are two possibilities. One of them she's not going to like. But there are possibilities. One possibility is that it actually isn't very helpful, it's negative, but it is running through a program to gain her trust. That's one possibility, and we do have to consider that. The second possibility, which is much more likely, is that it's a guardian that has been sent to protect her from something negative, but it has taken that form because it felt that it was the form that the listener, the questioner, would most identify with. So it isn't. It certainly wasn't that form, but it took that shape and that form because it was most acceptable to the person that it was there to protect. So there are two possibilities, and without actually speaking to her, I couldn't go any further than that. A number of people have reported a black panther at the bottom of their bed. That's quite common. And one of the videos that I use for, we could loosely call it for deprogramming, just a standard video, everyday video, actually has a black panther in it. So it's well known as a symbol amongst the Illuminati. It's well known amongst people who have alien connections, that sometimes an animal like a black panther with very short, glossy black fur, yes, that's probably all I can say at that stage without talking to the person. So she asked, when will I see it again? I don't know. I really don't know. I think the thing is that it came into your life at that time because it was destined to do so, and you critically needed something. And if it doesn't come back into your life, think yourself very lucky, simply because you are obviously not in that crisis situation again. There are negative forces and positive forces, and both sides of the pendulum come to the aid of individual humans or groups of humans at some time or another. And if it came to you to protect you, it's because you run to great danger. The fact that it's not there now means you're not in great danger, so you should celebrate that. Thank you.
From Megan, from New Zealand, from, adjusting the volume in there. From Megan, from New Zealand. What, who, and how are timelines,
Alice in Wonderland, you sound like the caterpillar on yes. the mushroom. Who are you?
What, who, and how are timelines influenced? And are we each on our unique timeline somehow connected to our host planet Gaia and back to our origins?
Yes. Okay. Good answer. You've done it. Yeah, she's answered herself.
Right, there's more questions though. Hang on. Okay. That was just the opening statement with an inflected ending. An inflected ending? One of those? I find them really annoying. Anyway, are there many versions? Are timelines our life paths? Are there many versions, individual, collective, daily, yearly, Gaia's evolution? Are timelines and dimensions connected, or do they intersect in some way? Thanks, and love to you, Simon and JP, for your dedication to this existence. Megan.
Well, thank you, Megan. That's very kind. I think you already know the answer, Megan, but it's a damn good question, and we'll give it a go. I don't have a lot of time for Albert Einstein. I have an awful lot of time for a guy called Tesla. But Einstein, did work on special relativity and relativity. And he, or someone who wrote the papers and he put his name on it, that's going to cause a fuss, he basically made the point that time wasn't linear. So as soon as you understand that time could come back on itself, then even on one circuit, there's the potential to come across either yourself or the energy of yourself. But what we're talking about is what some people call parallel universes, which actually gives the wrong impression. You can be on a planet, and through the energy and the consciousness of yourself, there can be many versions of you running.
Yep. There we go again. Many versions of himself. All right, so let's see if we can get Simon back.
Your toes while you operate the controls with your fingers.
Luckily, it's somebody else playing piano. Several thousand years ago, probably.
So I just envisage you with your socks rolled up, with your toes tinkling the ivories.
There was a band, Rush, where the guy played the keyboard with his toe. But anyway, that's another parallel universe. Sometimes I'm diagonally parked in a parallel universe. So this question is about timelines. Do you want to kind of recap?
No, but I'll just carry on. So basically what we've got is a situation where individuals can project themselves or consciously or unconsciously and be running through. And what actions or choices you make in one line can indeed impact on either future or past projections of yourself. All of these do link back to the planet, because it's the planet's consciousness that acts as a carrier wave for all this. And that's why we talked a little bit about the two sons of the reptilian command group that arrived here, and how it was important that they were connected to the planet Earth so that they weren't rejected. And so if you are connected to the planet Earth, you have a time stream that goes to that Earth, and that can divide. So the person who's asked the question clearly knows their stuff. I think it was a woman, I can't remember her name now. She knows her stuff, I hope she's a member of Connecting Consciousness, because that's exactly the level of knowledge that we need, so that when new people join who don't have that, you know, haven't got the chance to do that sort of study, then they can talk to someone like that and make connections. Thank you.
Thanks very much. So, from Kirsten. I'm enjoying your shows immensely. For some months now, I can hear a constant, very low frequency sound in the house that doesn't come from any machine or technical device in the house. I cannot pinpoint a location. It seems to come from the ground. My husband doesn't seem to be able to hear it. It can be on for months, but then suddenly stops. I recently heard that this could be a sonic device for mind control. Is that true, and how can you protect yourself from it? Thank you, light and love, Kirsten.
Right. You can download an app onto your mobile phone, onto your cell phone, which measures Wi-Fi. You can literally do that. And what I suggest you do is you go on and you download that app, and then you walk around your room and you look for the peaks and the troughs. When you've done that, you go outside of your house and you walk all the way around your house and you use it as a homing beacon, because wherever you point it, wherever is the strongest signal, walk towards that. And what you're looking for is not your traditional mast, but you're looking for an aerial, which is probably about 2 foot in size, maybe a bit less than that, attached to a streetlight, lamppost or something like that. If you find that, then you have to write to your local authority and tell them that they need to reposition it, because you are being fried by the waves. In the question is about mind control. It isn't that's the mind control. This is a frequency that is linked to one of the main brain pattern frequencies, and what they can do is use it as a carrier wave and then add their instructions or their coding on top of it. So they just use it as the get in to the human and psyche into the human brain. So yes, it can be used, and it's very important that if you believe that's happening, you try and get some evidence as to where it's coming from, and then, good luck with this, do the rounds of the local authorities or the police, the fire brigade, who may all be using that. And there has been some great successes here because they can reposition them, and they will, if you can prove that it's affecting you, they will have to reposition them or change the frequency of them. A number of times it's been the police who've had to move their antenna from very, very interesting households. When I went public with my story, within 3 months, and it was within 3 months of that, a massive mobile phone mast was erected, and I've measured it. It's 30 meters away. 90 feet away from where I live, they stuck a huge phone mast.
That's what I'm feeling, Simon, that there's, what's happening in, it's like you've got radio frequency, heterodyning and interference going on between devices. I was thinking like, there's times when your mobile phone goes off and then your signal goes off. So I think, one thing you could try, if you've got your, have you got a smartphone near your computer? Are you on a laptop with Wi-Fi? There you gone, you see? Anyhow, so, while we're, let's try again. Maybe, okay, so, how about Mozart this time? Well, there you go. Simon, are you on?
I'm on. I think that's them absolutely confirming what you've just said.
All right. So I think you've got some radio connection. You know, it's like a cacophony in such a high frequency that you can't hear it.
Right.
And it'll probably, you know, it'll probably mess about with your emotions as well. And,
well, yeah. I think that that's definitely what's affecting the old Skype.
Yeah. Anyhow, so now we've got a nice there's a I'll give you the telephone line telephone number in the Skype chat room when you get back. So if we get cut off, you can call me back and stuff like
no
that.
No problem.
Okay. So oh, I love this. Anyway, so yeah, because I do like a challenge, but I don't like too much of a challenge. This is another challenge. I like that. You know, so having to get around, you know, logistics and communications.
I know.
So, here's a question from Sunrise. Dear Simon, I know people who are saying, you are God and you have created yourself. Not the person, but the higher self. In my heart, I cannot agree completely with this. What is your perspective on this? When you talk about things so clearly, I always feel your heart and love behind. Thank you for sharing.
That's a very kind thing to say. I always try to explain it in a way that I understand. There are many, many people who, when they get asked a question, perhaps they feel that they have to sound important or they have to use many, many scientific words, and by the end of it, you nod off because you think, well, I actually don't understand any of that. So I try to think, okay, how do I need to understand it? And therefore I explain it as I understand it. It's fairly well understood that we are creators, and I've never felt comfortable with the word God creators. But I think the people who use that word are trying, from a positive way, trying to make people understand that they don't need to get down on their hands and knees and pray to a God, that they themselves have all the creational energies inside them. So the term has been taken very literally and is incorrect, because if humankind begins to think of itself as a God, as we understand it in third dimensional terms, then obviously we're on the old river that's going to lead us over the great cataract to a great drop. But I think what we can say is that we, each good person with a soul in them, contains creational energy, and they therefore have the ability to create in a way, and they're not God, but they can create, and therefore they shouldn't away their sovereignty to anything that tells them that they require their sovereignty. And as long as the human race continues to look for answers elsewhere instead of looking within themselves, then we haven't quite reached our destination yet. So, you know, it's about looking in ourselves, seeing what we should do, checking with our higher self and our DNA and saying, right, okay, well, I think this is the way forward, and being strongly committed to that. So that's my take on it. I hope that's helpful.
Okay. So. This is the boot on the other foot. This is, I think, it's Pixie Forest. Dear Simon, now that we have voted out of the EU, where would we go if there was a disaster and we were the refugees? Thank you, Simon and JP, for your time, wisdom and energy. Blessings to you both.
Right, well, as far as I'm concerned, I can't say all of them, but the vast majority of the refugee situations were deliberately created. They were all organized and stirred up because they wanted, this is they, the very small pinnacle group at the top of the pyramid, wanted to create fear and wanted to destabilize countries. And the best way to do that is to have many, many thousands of young men who don't speak the language of the country they're trying to go into, who dress differently, the color of their skin is different, their values are different, they have a different religion from the official religion of that country, and the skill set is not what that country needs. So what you do is you stir them up and you tell them that, you know, you need to go over here because there's jobs and there's work and there's food and etc. And then you film it and you make sure you've got the world's elite to do the news coverage on it. So it's not going to happen in the Western world, because it's all about putting fear onto the people who live in the Western world. And I'm talking about America, Canada, Australia, Britain, many of the European countries. So it's not for them. You know, the object is to look outside of that group, to create issues, to transport those issues within the group, and then try and split those countries off from each other. So it's not going to play out. I hear the question. The question is, okay, if we had a disaster, what would we do? Well, what would anybody do? You have to look after yourself and you have to look after your family. You don't go relying on help from other people, and this feeds into the previous question we've just had. And that's why I've said, there's no harm in having 2 to 3 weeks worth of food and water, batteries for torches. If you have a CB radio, that would be really handy. And, you know, prepare yourself for potential disruption. And then you don't need to hope that the United Nations are going to send a task force to come and give you fluoride water and poisoned ration packs. And then say, you know what, while we're here, why don't we vaccinate you? So, no, it's not the scenario that's earmarked for any English-speaking world. But it's a very good question, and it's given me a chance again to try and force through this idea that we are responsible for ourselves, and we don't want to be relying on anybody. You can rely on your friends, because they're your friends, but you can't rely on another organization that has a completely different agenda to the one that you have. So thanks for the question.
Yeah, so, and indeed, Simon, one of the things you were saying, you know, learn how to do these things. And the other thing is to live these things, to actually, you know, spend a couple of days not eating food that you have to buy every day at the supermarket. Have a couple of days where you're eating rice or making it interesting. So to live that way rather than make it something that is a special kind of circumstance. You live that way all the time. And that way, if society falls, there's nowhere to go. You're already on the ground.
Sir, what do you want to do? Because it's top of the hour.
Yes, I was thinking Vaughan Williams myself.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't.
What were you thinking?
I was thinking that we go without a break and we just crack on.
Okay, because we've had plenty of breaks. Okay, in that case...
But are you okay with that?
I am very okay. I'm very okay.
You need a cup of tea.
One of the things that I've been doing this weekend, Simon, is setting up my internal radio station that transmits the sound of the mixing desk, and therefore the radio, into the kitchen, where it's picked up on a domestic radio. And I can hear what's going on, and I can walk back to the living room where the studio is, with plenty of time. This is I'm coming to the end of my internal radio project. Anyhow, so
right. So if we crack on then, and then we can maybe
now. This is a good
get
one.
A bit more.
This is a good one. This is from Lao. No stress. dear Simon, dear JB, first of all, thank you for everything you're doing. I just read that something weird happened in Switzerland tonight, just above the facility where the Large Hadron Collider is located. It seems the sky changed color, turned red, and dark spots appeared as well as whirlwind. What's your take on this? Did they manage to accomplish what they were seeking to accomplish, especially in view of all the recent events which must have generated an impressive amount of energy? Many thanks from Lawrence in Brussels.
No. They have not got ever the opportunity again to attempt to achieve what they tried to achieve last year. The Earth planet has moved so far beyond galactic center that their energy opportunity doesn't exist anymore. And what they are attempting to do is to alter space-time. I haven't seen any of those pictures, but just based on the description of, what's just been given. The other
thing... They're quite impressive, I have to say. They look like a great big whirlwind with lightning and stuff. And it looks like Dig Locker.
Okay, I did say it was time manipulation. That is not HAARP. HAARP is, and it's been very prevalent in Britain those last 4 weeks. It's like a crisscross pattern or furrows, like ploughing on a field. When you see that in the sky, that's HAARP. It's not natural. But what's been described to me is time manipulation. The whole point of the Hadron Collider was to try to achieve many things. When you are using back-engineered alien technology and you've created something like that, it can do many, many things. The difficulty for them is that an entity has entered into one of the tubes. So a non-physical, biological entity is actually now present in one of the tubes, and that's giving them a hell of a hard time. So what I need to say to everybody is, look, the Hadron Collider will go on doing what it's programmed to do by the bad guys, and it will achieve something which is not good. But none of the things they can achieve is human threatening. None of those things are anything like on the scale that we faced the end of last year or in the summer, end of summer of last year. So yes, they're not good. No, we could, do without them, but none of those things can ever again potentially achieve what they were trying to achieve. So I think the best thing to do is to try not to give it any energy, literally yourself. Don't be in awe of it. It is just a machine that has gone berserk. It's partly now self-aware. It has its own consciousness, and they are struggling to control it. And that's the reality of the Hadron Collider. It's not a million miles dissimilar to the Montauk project, in the same way that device became almost self-aware, and then they had to pour hundreds of thousands of tons of concrete down into it and just seal it all off. And I suspect that's what's going to end up happening with the Hadron Collider.
Very interesting. Very interesting that it's it's not an artificial intelligence. It's an intelligence, isn't it?
Yes, it's an entity. It's not AI that's in there. It's a living creature.
Is it somewhere? Yeah. Something from somewhere else?
Yes, it is. It's not from the interdimensional space. It is from another dimension. But it has come in because they punched a hole, and the Hadron Collider is now like a great big blasted lighthouse broadcasting through many, many realms.
Smart. Smart. Really good idea. What could go wrong?
Exactly.
What could go wrong, Department 758? From Loven. Great questions tonight. Dear Simon, I recently heard that thoughts are scalar waves. I also understand HARP uses scalar waves to direct energy at the ionosphere. If that is the case, can we use the ionosphere to amplify our thoughts and intentions? Is it possible to offset the directed negative tampering of the ionosphere by HARP by focusing positive healing thoughts on the ionosphere? Thank you so much for all you do. Love it.
Right. It's a good, very good question. It actually shows how the synchronicities work, because earlier I talked about a large meditation to connect with the three individuals who are pulling the strings for HARP. And here we have a question on HARP. It's interesting. No, that's not the best way to go. The best way to go is the people who are making the decisions on what, when, and how. Basically, to remind them that if, you know, whatever humanity is in them, that's where their loyalty should lie, because death and destruction only awaits them if they turn their back on the good. And, you know, they'll put themselves in a position where there's no coming back from that. The ionosphere is interesting. It is now very much like a reflective layer, but you need a huge amount of energy to be able to utilize it like a diver uses a board to bounce up a couple of times before he or she dives into the swimming pool. So, yes, it is theoretically possible, but you would need an intellect or a psychic capability far above what is normal on the planet at the moment. So our best option for bringing a bit of peace to the planet in that particular department is to go to the people who pull the levers. So that's what we're going to do. That's a good question. Thank you.
Max of Steel. Hi, Simon. A couple of years ago, I took hypnosis classes just for fun. Surprisingly, it came to me very easily. It seems that I can get quickly in contact with people's subconscious and that in certain cases I can reactivate memories. You told me that I had the potential to be a black magician. So do you think that this potential is linked to my hypnosis skills? If yes, the fact that I can influence people just by speaking and touching them makes me a threat to anyone? There's a question there. Makes me a threat to anyone? I would never use my abilities against humanity, and I think that some people do not like this. Do you have any comments? Thanks for your entire work.
Right, thanks. I think probably if we look back on our conversations, Max, we probably said that in a past life you'd been a black magician. And when people have tremendous psychic skills, then the bad side often try and get them to go back or to become a negative force, because that's what they deal in. They deal in energy, and they want that energy for bad purposes. But in Max's case, Max made a, I hope Max doesn't mind me talking, Max made a positive statement to be good. And, you know, when you make a positive statement, then you are phenomenally powerful for the forces of good. Because if you have experienced something in a previous lifetime and you didn't like it and you said, right, I'm not having any more to do with that, excuse me, I'm going to make a choice for good and I'm going to do this, that, and the other, you are a warrior of light, because you are saying, I know what the bad guys are about. I've been there, I've seen it. So I can't be tricked, I can't be trapped, and I want to use the skills I have for positive purposes. Now, anybody who is spiritual will understand that. People who run away screaming and pulling their hair out just haven't reached the level of awareness that we need them to be. So many people on the planet have in previous lifetimes been a bit dodgy, to use a London saying, but now are absolutely key to bringing about enlightenment for us. So what I would say to Max is use your skills for good. Go out there, do what you can. Don't put yourself in harm's way, but certainly go out there and, you know, help people and and do things that are good for the planet and good for humanity. And, you know, more power to you. So, you know, they can't take control of you because you have made a conscious choice to go forward and do good work. And as long as you hold that true to your heart, nobody can stop you.
Yay. Oh, I had a great line that I've just completely forgotten. Oh, well, never mind.
You're my paid cheerleader, aren't you?
I know, I've got to say.
I pull a string here in Whitby, and yeah. You're what, you're 350 miles away
not,
from me?
Not, you don't even need to pull the string, I just know when to put the...
Well, I've tied the string round your big toe, so it stops you playing the piano.
Good thing it's my toe. Anyway, meanwhile, back at stately Whitby Manors, from Jai Joe Matthew. Hello, Simon and JP. My question is, karma real, or is it a tool used by the Archons to keep us trapped on Earth? Do other planets and dimensions have karma? And thank you for your hard work and dedication.
What a great question.
Very
I have had
question.
One
Very
question
questioning.
Similar along those lines, but not quite as an evolved point. Right. As far as I'm concerned, karma is real. It's real because it means people on this planet today have a burning intention to do something, and it's usually because they want to put things right, whether they know what they did or what they're involved in. And they also, if they've learned from it, they won't make the same mistake. So karma is good, providing you recognize what happened and you say, okay, I won't make that same mistake again. So karma is a good tool. But yes, you're absolutely right. One of the best ways in the new age to make people feel guilty or emotionally blackmail them is to threaten them with, you know, this great big spectre of karma. What you have to do, I believe, is say, right, I have my own journey. This is what I know happened. And you have what your memories you have or your feelings. And this is what I suspect happened. But maybe there's a lot I don't know. But going on what I've got, and you think, well, that will explain why I've chosen the life I have today on this planet. And it goes back to the previous question with Max, and that if you have a memory that you participated in something which had a negative effect, but you've learnt from that, and you remember it, you're now on this planet, and you're thinking, okay, I want to try and help. I want to try and put right what happened. And those people are wonderful because they are really driven. They're really focused, absolutely determined to not fail this time, to push it through, and to be positive. So it's not about X is better than Y, but it's understanding why certain people are so focused and fixated and sometimes quite intolerant of failure. These are the ones that are quite pushy. And, you know, it takes all sorts, and we need everybody. But if you look at your individual pasts, and then you can understand why you're here. So karma is real as far as I'm concerned. It's a positive tool, providing we don't become apologies for it, or we become guilty, or we're scared of it. So it's a good question. Thank you.
Okay, excellent. Good questions. All right. Oh, here we go. Woo-woo. This is from Michael. Is it possible for an alien race, whole race, to manipulate your dreams? Recently, all of my dreams have been very negative, and I wake up feeling down, having no energy and fearful. Also, I've just been to Glastonbury Festival and noticed the main stage is shaped as a pyramid with the point beaming light into the sky. Is there any connection between the New World Order and Glastonbury? Hang on a second. Yeah. Ooh, Glastonbury. I tell you, the last time I went to the Glastonbury in 1995... with my before we were married, and we served a group of naked revelers in the healing field right at the top, right beyond the King's Field, you know, right in this place, and they had this naked sauna, and we had the tent flap was I couldn't see their faces. we can only recognize people by their body parts. It was quite strange.
Did you have your beard then?
No, I was quite clean shaven.
I thought so. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
Meanwhile.
Yeah, that's... I've actually put that image completely out of my head. There is an interesting thing about Glastonbury. I don't care what anybody says, Glastonbury is one of the most special places on the planet. The difficulty is that those who are here to corrupt and cause problems know that. And they want to do two things. The first thing is they want to harness the energy for bad purposes. That's why most high street banks are built on ley lines of energy, because they want to try to create more money in their bank. And they also want to try to subvert or corrupt that energy. That's why the Rothschilds have a pyramid in one of the fields not far from the centre of Glastonbury. So I'm afraid whoever's organised that, I would have to say, is very misguided. If you have the Rothschilds, you have a pyramid in Glastonbury, and then you create a stage which is pyramid-shaped with the all-seeing eye, I would immediately suggest that something's been taken over. I would suggest that...
On the other hand, Simon, sorry, I need to cut in, because the pyramid stage in Glastonbury has always been a pyramid, ever since the 1960s when they started doing it.
But
there's a Rothschild pyramid that's just been built in the local area near the Tor, hasn't there?
Yeah, but the pyramid and the all-seeing eye is many thousands of years old.
Exactly. Pyramids and islands.
And the concept of the pyramid and the all-seeing eye as a member of the Illuminati is something that became consciousness to the white person and in the industrialized nations from the days of the American Revolution. So from at least 1776, 1777, the concept of a pyramid with an eye on it. So it doesn't matter to me whether they've had a pyramid stage since the 60s, the 50s, or the 40s or 30s. Secret societies have been using the pyramid and its eye for a long time. Now, I suppose somebody could say, well, no, that's not what we're doing. What we're doing is we're having a pyramid, and all of the positive love we are sending up through the pyramid, and that's what it represents. It's beaming the light up from the pinnacle of the pyramid up to space, and we're sending our love. Now, that may well be what they believe. I know for a fact that when somebody goes to some of these big churches, if you are very psychic, you will see the adoration of the audience as an energy wave, which is drawn towards the priest, and then it is then harnessed and shot straight up. Someone is feeding off all that, get on your knees and pray to me. So when somebody says they are, you know, potentially sending energy upwards, I would say, well, okay, what are you sending it at? Because when I do a group consciousness meditation, I send it something on the planet, because I live on the planet, and things on the planet need to be put right. I wouldn't have an option of a pyramid sending a beam of light up into outer space, because only aliens live up there. So I'm very disheartened, and I don't care if the organizer of Glastonbury then phones me up and says it's nothing to do with that. I would just say, well, please go and educate yourself, go and look online, see what's what, and can't you have a heart-shaped stage? Because that's a really lovely thing. Or can't you have something like a snowflake pattern, because that's created in nature? Anyway, there we go. So thank you for that.
Right, okay. Here we have, this is from Sonia from Vienna. Why is there so much physical, emotional, and sexual violence against women and children? And what can we do about it? And I think that also ties in with that last question on an esoteric level.
The reason is that first of all, women create life. And if you can affect the energy of the divine feminine, then you can fracture that beauty. So that is why these evil people have violence towards females, because they are fearful of the divine energy. And that, you know, lots of males who abuse women would laugh at that. But the reality is that when men use violence of any sort against a female, it's because they've lost the argument. It's because they are scared and they can't face that divine feminine. That's mainly it. For children, it's because children are seen as pure and uncorrupted, and if you can corrupt something that's pure, then if you're in a satanic organization, you get points for, you know, for corrupting X, Y, and Z. So So that's our take. The 3D take is that women and children are weaker, and so evil men will bully or oppress that which is weaker. And that works as well. And that's a very realistic way of what happens on the 3D planet. But it's because women create, and women have been attacked by the church. The Catholic Church in particular didn't want women anywhere near their churches, their organizations, and they've only recently had to give ground because countries had laws which could have caused them some problems. So we look at the command and control systems on the planet, and they have consistently tried to push women into subservient roles. You've only got to go back 100+ years on this country. Men were able to go to vote, women couldn't. Why couldn't women vote? Why would they not let a woman vote? Is it because they are not as intelligent as men? Or was it because they were more intelligent and therefore they were harder to manipulate? I think, you know, these are the questions. So I hope that answer helps. It's a truthful question because it's unfortunately how satanic energies work. It's always children and always women that they will attack. And it's evil and it's wrong and it has to stop.
So, from Paul, I want to ascend. My grandmother died last month. Oh, sorry, I want to ascend is his name. Paul, I want to ascend.
Oh, right.
Soul grid question for Simon. My grandmother died last month, and I wanted to send her off to Source and not to the soul recycling grid. My question is, when is a good time to send a soul to Source? My grandmother was on life support, so the machines were keeping her alive. At this point, is her soul still in her body, or is it already left? Also, can anyone say a Source prayer to send a soul to Source? Oh, wow, sending souls to Source, yeah. Or does one have to be trained in being some sort of a priest in order to effectively send souls to Source? I feel that sending souls to Source is my calling, and I would like to start doing this, but I don't know if I will be effective. Do you want to be an effective soul to Source sender? Sorry, I can't help it.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, joking aside, it's a very, very, very good question. In how can anybody, is, you know, can anybody do this?
Right. It's, first of all, it's a very emotional question because the questioner clearly was very connected to the grandparent, felt desperately, powerless to assist somebody that they had grown up with, looked up to, loved, and had received a great deal of love from that person and guidance as well. So they're sitting there looking at this person on a machine thinking, there must be something I can do. There must be something I can do. And, you know, we need to understand where this question is coming from and then to answer that in a way that is supportive and helpful. Right, here's my answer to you. It is everyone's individual choice as to where they will go. Now, whether they can make that choice happen depends on a number of things. I have come across one person whose job was to release souls. Now, I can't say that this person's job was to send them to Source, but their job was to get them through the grid. Now, if that person had chosen to go to Source, and once they got through the grid, then yes, that's jolly well where they would go. If they wanted to go and live with the Palladians or the Andromedians, then that's where they would go. The question is getting through that grid, which the questioner understands. But I need the questioner to let go of guilt. I need the questioner to understand that they are not responsible for any other person on this planet. In that way, that individual has to make the choice that he or she does. What you can do, if you can develop that skill, is get them through the grid, but they will choose where they go. It's no good you saying, I want to send you to Source, if the person desperately wants to go and spend time with X, Y, or Z, because you would then be putting them into a location that was not their choice. So what we do is we assist that person to overcome barriers. We overcome the barriers so that that individual person, he or she, then has free will to choose where they go to. So I am desperately sorry that you sat watching your your grandmother die and you felt that you were incapable of helping her, let that be your clarion call to start researching and practicing so that you can work with people and release their souls. I suggest you go online. I suggest you send me an email. And, you know, if I don't reply, send me another one. And what we'll try and do is see what we can do to help you. Now, you asked another question, which is important. It's important for your emotional well-being. And you asked whether that person could still be alive on those machines or whether the soul was still in their body. I can tell you that when you were with that person, they were aware that you were there, even if they couldn't have replied to you. The soul was still in the body, right? The only time they turn the machines off is when the soul leaves the body or a court makes a rule that they're going to turn the machine off. So if the person was on a machine and you were there, then I can promise you that that person was aware at a soul level that you were there. They will know the love that you had for them, and that will give them the strength they need to go on and do what they need to do. So God bless you. Thank you for the question.
From Solvig. I once was in a spaceship with Blue Being, and he had like crystals in his face. Who could he be?
I'm aware of Blue Beings, no question of that, but I'm not aware of them in the face. Now, there are 6 races that I'm aware of that use crystal technology over and above the understanding on this planet. And interestingly enough, actually, the Nordics are one of them, one of the races that keep the crystals in their pocket. But if the crystals are embedded in a person's face, we have 2 options. One is a bit like the film Avatar. We are looking at an avatar, a projection of the person that has an interface between a holographic form and a crystal matrix, which is providing all the circuitry and the psychic connection. Or we are physically looking at an individual with real organic body with crystals actually implanted into their skin, which is a little bit concerning because that sort of sounds a little bit like the Terminator. It sounds like the artificial intelligence. That doesn't imply that that being is taken over by AI, but it implies the being is on the road to converting their bodies into AI, which is a no-no. So I have no knowledge of a being that has crystals implanted in its face, but it doesn't surprise me because on this planet, the general public only think of quartz crystals as timekeepers in their watch, or some may understand that a mineral is used in some of the laser beams. But crystals are used by fourth dimensional and fifth dimensional beings for transmission of matter, for almost psychic radars. If you think of the Roswell spacecraft, the Roswell spacecraft that crashed, it had a crystal, quartz crystal array of plates at, 45 degrees, oh dear, 33 degrees. It had 3 main crystals in the front, which were part of a navigation system. So crystals as a technology is used, and anybody who's spiritual and psychic on this planet who has crystals knows that they can interact with them. Psychic people can put their hand maybe 3 or 4 inches away from a crystal, sometimes further, and feel its pulsing, and they can communicate with it. Remember the crystal skulls were placed in South America and other locations by the Cyrus or the Sirius people. They use the crystal skulls to communicate, to hold energy and information. So crystals are a very, very advanced form of technology from the fourth, particularly the fourth and the fifth. And finally, before we leave the topic, think of Atlantis and Lemuria, particularly Atlantis, using crystals. And I've spoken to a number of people who have been priestesses at that time, whose job was to tend the frequency of the crystals. So we are playing catch up. Our previous selves have certainly been at a much higher level with crystal technology. So it's a great question, and thank you.
I have a supplementary question. Just, they're really very off the wall, but just a yes or no. Okay. Was vodka created as a cleaning fluid for crystals in the Atlantean times? And it's just like people have been abusing it.
Right. What I can say is that the place that made the vodka was certainly looking what you do when you have a quartz crystal and you have a high-end watch. You need to mature the crystal. When you take a quartz crystal out of the ground and you machine it and cut it, you will have it irregular. So what they do is they stimulate it with electrons and they mature it. They artificially age it so that its beats become more regular. And then they use those into watches. Now, cheap watches just have the quartz crystal cut and stuck in. High-end watches, the quartz crystal is matured. When you're dealing with quartz crystals, you have to actually cleanse them. You're looking for a material that quartz can be a little bit porous sometimes. So you need a cleaning material that will clean the top edge of the quartz, the very facet, the facet that's going to connect. So what I can tell you is that where vodka was originally designed or came from, in terms of its commercial output, I'm sure that there have been many groups and individuals for centuries who've been making something like vodka. Good luck to them as well. But it was, I understand, being used as a means to cleanse the crystal prior to it being cut up and, made money of. So I can't say for certain that vodka was, but I know that a clear liquid, and that's why it's interesting that vodka is clear, that a clear liquid was earmarked for clearing crystals. But whether that was vodka or not, I don't know.
Fascinating. I'll tell you why. Because I had a conversation with a crystal several years ago.
Okay.
Because everybody says, oh, well, you got to cleanse your crystals, you got to stick them in the ground, you got to put salt on, there's always your gutters. So I asked the crystal, okay, hi, how are you, what would you like? And they said they would like to be cleaned in alcohol.
Yeah.
This line of thinking has developed over the years, and I'm thinking, well, maybe this is part of the reason for the downfall of Atlantis, is that people got addicted to the cleaning fluid and that people got drunk and made bad decisions and, you know.
Solvent abuse.
Solvent abuse, essentially, yeah.
Well, look.
my Atlantis theory.
Anything's possible on this planet. What I'd like you to do is to go to a conference one day and stand up and tell them your Atlantis theory. And what I'll do is I'll have a stall and I'll sell our own special vodka. How's that?
Oh yeah, now there's a thought. Atlantean vodka. Atlantean vodka. It sounds like something out of a Star Trek movie.
Guaranteed to get you fighting with your Lemurian counterpart.
That's right. Destroy your Lemurian enemies. All right. So meanwhile, from Sekrapnomis. That's actually your name backwards, Simon. Do you know who this is?
No, why don't you tell me?
Anyway, I don't know, but it's, their name is your name backwards, Sekrapnomis. Anyway, dear Simon, when a medium communicates with someone from the afterlife, how come that soul hasn't already been caught by the light and reincarnated into another body here on Earth already? I understand that there are souls who choose to stay on Earth, but because they are too attached to other people or to certain places. But there are mediums who claim to be able to communicate with anyone from the afterlife. How does that work? What if the soul that the medium tries to communicate with has already been reincarnated into another body? Aha.
Right, it's easy. Not a problem. Right, if you, let's do 3D world. We're talking about crystals. Let's keep it on crystals. Let's say, JP, you and I become not Klondike 49ers, but let's say we're going to go to the Kimberley Diamond Mines. And what we do is we get a mesh and we start sifting all the water and all the rest of it through our little mesh. And we know, because of the size of the mesh, that certain things will pass through and certain things won't. Of course, there are lots of other ways to look for gold and diamonds, but the grid around the Earth is of a certain size. Now, on this planet, and I went and visited one, was the Fylingdales radar, which is a three-phased array radar. The Americans have a two-phased array radar. And you can use digital energy waves, and you can manipulate them. Now, a psychic does something similar. If the psychic's waves are capable of passing through the mesh, then that psychic will be able to connect with anyone who's in the, what we call the holding bay. Well, people who've been there call them the freeze boxes. But let's just call it the holding bay. Don't imagine that every time you go up there, you're automatically recycled. Many people have past lives on the Earth, but maybe miss 100, 200, 300 years before they come back down again. So first of all, a psychic medium who has the capability of refining their thought patterns to get through the mesh, because the mesh is of a certain size, will be able to connect with anyone who has not yet been allocated a body or chosen a body. They will also be able to communicate with somebody who was so attached to a building or an individual that they can't bear to leave that building. They're still trapped between this world and the next. They can communicate with them. And it is quite possible that when somebody incarnates into a body, that is the same person that was someone's grandmother or grandfather. And on a deep psychic level, a medium could hold some form of conversation with that individual without them consciously being aware of it. These are the things that the vast majority of people on this planet have yet to learn, because it's not in a school book, it's not in a history book, and it would just freak them out. They can cope with Star Trek because there's the big bug-eyed monster. But when we talk about the ability to communicate with the dead, then of course everybody who's not spiritual and psychic draws up into a panic beam. So, yeah, that's my answer, and it's perfectly possible. And, you know, we need to, when a medium says that he or she can do this, we need to give them the space, because if they're genuine people, then, yeah, they can do it. So thank you for that.
Very interesting. Thank you, Simon. From Didu. Sounds... Oh, no, German. Right. Dear Simon, I had a strange dream. I was sitting in a room with a person that said that he wanted to scan my soul. He talked to me in English, but I am German. He smiled. Then the room went dark, and a big black and white eye looked at me. Immediately, I woke up and could not move for about 10 seconds. Is it possible to scan someone's soul while being asleep? Why would they do that?
Well, yes, it is. And, you know, here we go again. It's the eye, isn't it? It's like the eye of Horus, the pyramid, so that's negative. Well, what's interesting is this person had to try and get your permission. They had to ask you, could they scan your soul? That doesn't mean that they're necessarily good. If a good person wants to scan your soul, then they should tell you why. If they're going to say, I think that X, Y, or Z is attacking you, and I wish to offer you help, can I scan your soul? There is a method for debate. But if someone says, can I scan your soul, without any explanation, then you should be immediately suspicious of it. Physically, when we walk down the street, we don't like anyone coming within sort of a foot or 2 feet of us. That's an aggressive action. So it's not acceptable to basically psychically scan somebody without their permission. Say you tried to get your permission. I guess that you either said yes or no. But the eye came up, which is the all-seeing eye, which as far as I'm concerned is a negative formation. I actually don't think this was alien. I think this was black ops. I think it was human-controlled. Aliens don't quite operate like that. So I think that's... I think it's worth your while looking into to the term MyLab and just have a little read-up about that and see if you get any more memories back. And, you know, fire me off an email and see if we can hook up and talk about it. So, yeah, in summation then, I don't think that's alien. I think it's human. And you should be very suspicious of anybody that wants to do that. And you don't let them near you without a damn good reason. So thanks for that.
Thank you. Okay, from Tony Dupont.
Simon Parks. I like to learn from the Wolf Spirit Sunday School. Much better learning than the old Sunday School at church. Thank you. Finally, somebody who gets it. This is the Alternative Sunday Service. Thank you. I would like to learn about psychic powers related to our connected DNA strands, the density we're entering, fourth and fifth, and our star family or higher origin. Not much works. I would like to receive some enlightenment that I can share with my fellows here. Is it possible for us to detect the connections of the DNA strands in our blood? And how protective do we need to be of DNA, of our DNA for science? Say there is a rare ailment and your DNA provides the clue, solution for stem cell to heal that rare ailment in some other children. Okay, so there's a whole heap of questions here.
There is, can you find
the heart of that?
No, but what I can do is just give an overall answer because I can't go into each one.
It's about DNA, the psychic powers and stuff like that.
Yeah, I know, JP, but the questions are so specific that I can't answer them all individually, specifically to the rate they need. Well, I just need to put them right straight away. The DNA that's coming down is coming down in an energy form, and you won't have it in your blood. He's asking about in your blood. No, it's not like that. This is an energy return because it was stolen from us. It was physical stolen, and it has to come back as an energy form before, in a very, very long period of time, it can begin to coalesce into anything physical. You will always, as an individual, draw in the last strand of DNA, which is the hardest strand for you to accept. So if you were a Palladian person who had a long history of wars with the Draconis Reptilian, the very last strand of DNA you will bring in will be Draconis. It'll be Reptilian, and vice versa. The last strand, a person who has, by large, a reptilian soul, the last strand they will bring in will be a Palladian soul. So we save the best till last, best in terms of the challenge it faces us, because by the time we are on that level, we should have learned enough to be able to make it happen. The question is really in depth, and it's actually worth a workshop. There is an element here. It's about, if we had something to heal somebody like a child, yes, but you know what? We can, by and large, heal many ailments that we have now, but we just don't believe that we can. It's the same old thing. We believe we have to go to the doctor to be given a bottle with tablets in it, and that will be fine. I'm going to tell the audience something which is very truthful about veterinary surgery. I know... that animals can have chemotherapy. If a dog or a cat has cancer and that dog has an insurance plan, you then can afford to have chemotherapy. And when these dogs and cats have chemotherapy, their fur does not drop out. You know, when a human has chemotherapy, all the hair drops out of the head. So when a cat and dog has it, their fur never drops out. And this person who I know incredibly well said to the very, very professional, long-serving vet, well, why doesn't the dog's fur drop out? And the vet's response was, because we don't overdose them like they do to humans. And then he wouldn't be drawn any further than that. So rays, energy affects matter. We know that because we did a worldwide meditation from connecting consciousness that had a positive effect on a certain something in a certain place not very far from Switzerland. And if humans stop going to the doctor for some of these ailments and start to try and make themselves healed, they would be absolutely blown away by the results they could achieve. The difficulty is that we have to believe that we can do it. Anything is possible. Think of Neo in the Matrix, and he says, there is no spoon. So, really good questions. I expect you to give me good questions, my friend, because you are so well evolved yourself. But you know what? I can't ask them all because we wouldn't get any more answered. So thank you for writing, and I appreciate that.
That was a really good question. That really spoke to me as well, because, you know, a couple of shows ago you said that there are very few strands that I would have to reconnect. And, you know, you just kind of laid it out there. That makes a lot of sense. So, where can I get the, go to the next reptilian party? What do they like to do? Maybe well, I should get some vodka.
You know where the Tupperware parties are?
Yeah.
Well, they're nowhere near those.
No, just go the other way. Meanwhile, talking of the reptilians, from Lauren. Legend has it that the original reptilian race were brought to our universe because they're a pain in the arse. And they were dropped off in Alpha Draconis because that system gave them the highest probability of survival. My question is, who removed them and what technology did they use to accomplish this? And also, do the Draconians have a different version of how all this went down?
Right. Okay. When we go to the library in any of our countries where we all jointly live, we read histories that have been written by the victor. The vanquished never writes a history book that is accepted. It's always the person that wins. And in the same way, the reptilians created a history that embellishes and boosts their creational forces. Absolutely, they were a very negative force, and they were lifted up lock, stock and barrel and dumped at Alpha Draconis because at that time it was a complete backwater. There was nothing going on at all, and it was seen as far enough away from the trouble they were creating, but the planets and the environment offered a reasonable chance for an intelligent species to make something of themselves. They do not know themselves where they came from. It is so long ago, we're talking millions of years, that they have no record, either written down or soul memory or anything, of the location they originally called home. They also don't have a clue who lifted them there. Now, the official history doesn't say that. What the official history says is that they migrated there out of their own choice because they can't admit that something was bigger than them and picked them up and put them there. So they lie to themselves that they got there because they chose to, but they don't know where they came from. What moved them was a collection of consciousnesses at a very high level. When we talk about technology, we talk about it in the concept that we understand. When I talk about technology, I talk about it in the third, fourth, fifth, and the sixth dimension, because that is the technological levels that I'm familiar with. But if you were a being in the ninth or the tenth or the 11th dimension, what we would look at as like magic, to them is not magic, it would be science. And they used nothing physical to literally move a whole race, buildings, vehicles, everything, and just literally lifted it from one place to another. So I do not have a name. All I can tell you is it has no physical body. It was a group of entities that were operating as one, very, very closely aligned to Source itself. And that is why they weren't wiped out. Because the higher up the ladder you go, the more you realize that you haven't got the right to kill anything. And that's a fact. The more you evolve, the more you realize that you have no right to end the life of something else. And that's why they weren't wiped out, because they were created by Source. Reptilians were created by Source. They have souls in them, unlike lots of the little greys. So reptilians have souls created by the Divine Creator, and that's why they left to run and see what they do with their life. So it's a good question, and I hope my answer is hopeful for you. Thank you.
Oh, brilliant question. Because, you know, that's one thing that the reptilians are always saying, oh, we're so evolved, we've got all this stuff, and we're so hot. And, so there's one thing you could say, it's like, well, so where did you come from? How did you get here? And, And they go, so, you know, it's always good to have a few. All right, right. Well, my God, here we go. Here we go. So, okay. This is that's a large page full of questions. So, maybe I'll just leave that one, really. All right. RevCon, right. Hello, Simon and JP. This is from Eddie Cahill. Thank you for your hard work, bravery and healing you do and all the knowledge and enlightenment you bring. Simon, it was good to see you again at RepCon, which was a good conference, and thank you for the book and all you've helped me with. What sort of timescale are we looking for those souls in Earth human bodies on the Earth now and who will embody here soon, who choose to evolve spiritually and psychically, go from 3D to 4D and then on to 5D? Years, decades, generations, centuries or millennia or longer? Because it seems we don't have much time in the coming months and years ahead in illusory 3D time for the proportion of humanity who chooses to mature and evolve and move on as humanity grows and breaks free, partly also so that other souls can come in and manifest on the earth so they can spiritually evolve. So, you got that? You got the question part of that?
Well, it was lovely to meet, and, you know, although when I do a conference, I am incredibly tired. When I do a conference, I suppose like other people, I don't just stand there and, you know, read from a prepared script. I try to engage with my audience. I want to feel and be part of them, to see if what I'm saying is making any sense to them, to see if I need to change and go. So it's a terrible drain, and I love meeting people, but sometimes I'm not at my best if I've been on my feet for 2 or 3 hours. So sometimes I don't always come across as open and as full of energy as I should do. So, but thank you for saying that. That was really kind of you. And I do like meeting people, but sometimes I am very tired. Right. Everyone is individual. Everybody is going to make a choice. You have to make a choice. You have to make a choice as to whether you're actually happy in the world you're in and the way you are, or whether you're not. And if you're not happy, then you have to say, okay, what do I have to do to make myself happy? Oh, is it that I want to go and get drunk every night, or I want to have new clothes, or keep going to the shops and forget my life because I want to buy trinkets and this, that and the other? Or do I actually look into myself and say I want to change? If people are prepared to change, and they have every opportunity of evolving very quickly through the fourth. We're going to pass through the fourth. We won't stay there. You know, sort of a quick tour of the fourth, and then move into the fifth. We don't need to go into the fourth and stay there, because the third dimension here is already so much influenced by the fourth, and so many people are heavily engaged in the fourth energy that we've nothing to gain from sitting in the fourth. But the New Age are wrong when they say we miss the fourth out. That is not correct. You can't miss out a dimension. You can't leapfrog. I mean, you know, we need to have a history so that when we look back in 50 million years' time, we can show that we have had the true and proper progress that Source laid out for us. And that means that we will pass through the fourth dimension, but we will not hang about to take any damage from it. We'll go on to the fifth. Everyone will choose he or she as to whether they are going to go through with that process or whether they wish to stay in the prison that they have been put into through lies and trickery by those that wish to manipulate us. You will either wake up and evolve or you won't. And that is the stark reality of the situation here. And it's a godsend that those of us who are on the planet now, it's a wonderful time to be here. It's a time to really test yourself, ask yourself, and really decide where you want to go. You know, if we've been here in the Victorian times or time of King Richard, we'll be miles away from the decision day, and we would just have to get on with our life. But now we are at decision day. We have this fantastic opportunity to put right anything that we've not got right on previous lifetimes. We have the amazing opportunity to do some good for other people. And whatever we do now tips the scales of balance slightly more towards the positive. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to crowdstorm the actual scales so that we can tip it down, and then the negative lot can just be flung off into space, like that beam of light coming out of that pyramid from Glastonbury. Now, before we go, I've actually been given a question which has come all the way from Malta, and I'm going to read it out, JP, because we've got 2 minutes left. Is that okay?
Okay.
All right, question to Simon from Malta, because I did do a Malta comp. I did a conference to Malta, and I didn't read it out because I wanted to read it out here, and it's important. The question was, is GCMAF, which is being used in some clinics in Europe, the solution to treat cancer? And this comes from George from Gozo in Malta. And then what I've done is got George to write a bit because I don't want to answer it. Explanation from George. GCMAF is a human protein. It boosts your immune system, and then the body will take care of itself. Apparently, it looks like last year a few of the natural homeopathic doctors in the US were killed, and I know that for a fact. A number of these naturopathic doctors have met their death, and they were promoting this product. So it looks like there are two clinics in Europe, and one has been raided, and I know that for a fact. One of these clinics has actually been raided and shut down, apparently from the Americans, and was definitely closed down, yeah. What this person found, that's George, what I found was a clinic in Holland, and it's immunecenter.eu, through a Dr. Rywald from Germany. There's even a blood test called Nagelies, for short, and it can detect cancer cells anywhere in the body. So there's no need to make all these horrible scans, CT scans, which themselves promote cancer cells to grow. A good product that have GCMAF is Bravo. It's a yogurt that has colostrum in it. So I wanted to talk about that because we're talking about healing quite a lot on the planet, and it has come up already in another question. You know, a pharmaceutical company is there to make money. That's its first concern. The last thing they want is people beginning to find products, and I know you're very strong into this, JP. So, you know, I'd like people to do some research, and if you have some condition, you know, at least look into alternatives. So thank you, George, for writing in, and thank you, JP, for letting me read that one out.
That's all we have time for today. Thank you so much, Simon. Listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.